And I kind of taught this passage to the big church, but I thought I'd go over some of it with you guys. It's Exodus chapter 12, verse 1. Genesis. I had Exodus because I saw on your guys' wallpaper screen, whatever, that it said Exodus. I was like, you guys must be going through Exodus. Okay. It says, the Lord had said to Abraham, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And I will bless you, or those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. And verse 4 just starts, and so Abraham left. And I'll just stop there, okay? I don't know if I'll get much further than that. I kind of like this, you know, for a couple reasons. One of them is, I love it that God spoke to Abraham. His name just means high father, by the way. His name was changed to father of many, as many of you guys know. Probably Father Abraham had many sons and all that stuff. You do the songs where you're in the kids' ministry and stuff. Remember that? That was cool. I always liked that one that said, like, I just got sidetracked, but is it Father Abraham had many sons? Many sons had Father Abraham, and I am one of one, so let's just praise the Lord, right hand. Yeah. Isn't that how it is? Right arm, and then you shake it and stuff. Yeah, that's cool. I always like that. But I like this because you can kind of have, like, a knowledge of God, like an intellectual knowledge of God, but if you're not called by God, it doesn't have electricity. It doesn't have movement. You know, there's no kinetic movement spiritually in your life. It's just that you're kind of, you just have this great knowledge of God. And I kind of like that God spoke to Abraham. And that's what I need in my life all the time, guys. I need God to speak to me. You know, reading the Word's beautiful. I love the Word of God. And Sylvia would tell you, I love reading the Word. I love, even if I feel like junk, I mean, even if I've messed up in sin, man, I read the Word, dude. I'm in the Word. If I'm sinning, I have the Word of God right there with me while I'm sinning. I'm that kind of guy. I'm just like, God, I'm sinning. And I'm reading your Word because it's right by this. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm that kind of guy. I love the Word. But even more than the Word, I love the God who wrote the Word. And I need Him to touch me. I mean, like, really speak to me in special ways, you know. And I expect that from God, because of these passages. I expect God to do something in my life. You know, I believe God is really amazing. He is amazing. He could touch who He wants to touch. He could touch them in long distance lands. He is so amazing in reaching people that there's nothing that can really hinder Him from doing or thwart His will. He is going to, boom, you know, achieve what He needs to achieve. And that helps me out. Now, I've seen this in my own life as well, where God just literally touches me, almost like a, I don't want to say like a Paul the Apostle, because he was a Jewish guy. He was around the things of God. But in my own life, God really spoke to me. You know, it's like there was a real boom, like, whoa, you know, and just like something's happening to me and I don't know what it is kind of thing. And being a little nervous because God's speaking to your heart. And when God was speaking to me, there was desperation in my life. There was an expectation for something. I needed something to happen. I don't know if you ever sense that where you really, maybe you wonder like, hey, why doesn't God speak to me, Bo? And maybe there's not a real desperation in your life. Maybe you like your sin maybe a little too much. You know, there's not a real desperation for God, you know. The call of Abraham's cool because he's from the land of what? Where's he from? Remember? What? Ur. Can you guys say that? Yeah, that's a cool name, huh? You don't want to do that on a date, right? I'm from Ur. They'd be like, oh, it's not a real sexy look, you know? But that's where he was from, right? Ur, of all places. Now, this place was the happening spot, though. This was a popular place. It was a city. It wasn't gigantic. But back then, if you had a city of, you know, 65 to 85, that was pretty gnarly city back then. You know, and it was happening. It had trade. It had an economy. You know, it was flourishing in those ways. And could you imagine the call of Abraham where God says, hey, I want you to leave that. I want you to leave what you know. And I want you to go. So Abraham must have felt something. He must have been desperate too. And the reason why is because his family, we're told in the Bible, were idolaters. And that means he's from a pagan land. He's from people that are pagan, meaning they worship false deities. And God, whenever he calls out of. He's calling you out of something. And sometimes if your life is one where it's too blurry, you know, where there's too much of a blur, you might feel not too close to God because God's maybe saying, hey, bro, I want you to actually come out. I want you literally to come out and leave, and you haven't left. You know, there's always a leaving and cleaving in husband and wife life, right? And there's a leaving and cleaving when it comes to marrying Christ, you know, and coming to Him. There is a leaving and a cleaving. I don't know if you've ever done that, where you really have left the things of the world and you've gone, you know what, I am going to associate with Jesus Christ. And of course, today, like in any generation, not just today, but in any generation, to respond to that call and to cling to Christ, there's a ramification for that in any culture. Meaning there is people that are going to look at you and go, oh man, you're not scientific, you're not blah, 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 blah. This is going to go down the list, right? And Abraham, no doubt, had the same probably maybe reluctance that you guys feel too, of like, man, I have my parents, I have my family. Notice what it says, leave your country. Leave your country. Leave the only place you know. Leave that. You know, do you think that was hard? Do you think that was difficult? What do you think was a part of that leaving? You know, what do you think, what does it mean to leave a country? You think that Abraham would at least have a place he was going, right? But let me read to you Hebrews, the chapter 11, that gives us a little commentary on this guy. And it says, by faith Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Isn't that cool? He just did not know where he was exactly going to go. You know, I remember being called not just to Christ, to God, and having it be such a radical experience, but I remember being called to Tucson. And there was such peace. Me and Syl sometimes talk about it. You know, we talk about coming to Tucson, and we're just like, wow, what was that like for us? I go, man, was it scary for you? And she goes, no, not at all. It wasn't scary at all. I just had so much peace. And I'm like, isn't that radical how, God, we had no clue. We'd never been to Tucson before. I mean, I never even been to Arizona. I mean, you know, I mean, this is a place that you grow up thinking is as close to hell as you want to be. It's awful. I remember a kid from high school went to Cochise College. He got a scholarship, basketball scholarship at Cochise College. And I remember he was telling me about it. I was just like, oh my God, dude, who'd want to live out there? It was hilarious. But my first month in town, Pastor Scott, much younger Pastor Scott, said, hey, do you want to go to Cochise College? And I'm like, oh my God, dude, no way. That's right. That's where that guy went to college. It was in Arizona. And it's down in Douglas, south Arizona. It's the U of A Wildcats used to do their football training down there, and Pastor Scott wanted to go and check it out. But it's amazing. Me and Sylvia just felt this peace, you know. And when God calls you, you do feel that. You do feel a peace. Even when he called me into Christ, to be a Christian, I had no clue what this meant. I just had no idea what I was getting involved in at all. But there was such a peace. And hopefully you guys feel that with whatever God's called you to. Even if it's into, you know, a call of service to Christ. You know, there's such a peace in that call, you know. When you're called to be with someone, there's such a peace in that call. You know, I was at so much peace with Jesus that if Sylvia broke up with me, it was okay. I was okay. And it was such a cool feeling. You know, it wasn't like I walked around going, hey, Sylvia, you know, I'm okay if you break up with me. It wasn't, I wasn't talking, but in my heart I knew that, you know, God had called me, I was okay. You know, and Abraham must have felt that too, that, hey, you know what? God called me. I'm going to be okay, even though I'm going to leave my country. Now, not only is he going to leave his country, but notice it says, and your people. That's hard. Coming out, leaving a people. See, when God calls you, he calls you out. And he calls you not only to leave a country, but he wants you to leave a people. And I love this because what God's doing is he's stripping Abraham of everything in his life, right? Why would God do such a thing? Why would God strip you of everything? The world would think that's so wrong of God. That's so inconsiderate of God. That's so. But why would it be so important? What do you think? What? A new start, a new beginning. Behold, anyone in Christ is a what? A new creation, right? All things are new. Isn't that cool? So it's not like you have to leave a country, but it's like through our relationship with Jesus, we do have this newness. We leave, right? We start this new relationship. Yeah, it's fresh. What are some other reasons about this leaving your people that you think would be really important? Have you ever left a people? You know, have you ever left a relationship, friendships? You know, it's tough when you love friends. You know, I've always loved my friends. I've always kept in touch with them. If you ever see my Facebook friends, you'll see some pretty interesting people sometimes in there. I guess everybody's got them. But, you know, it's great. Like, I'm going to go to San Francisco in a week, and I'll be passing through the 101 to see a guy named Jamie Curio. I haven't seen Jamie in 28 years. I mean, he's not a Christian guy, you know. But, you know, I get to go see him. He used to be a big DJ. He used to spin a ton of music. Just really good. Just awesome guy. But, you know, it was tough being young and then pulling away. I remember dating girls before Sylvia, of course. I never cheated on Sylvia, by the way.
Just for the record.
But before I was dating Sylvia, you know, I'd be dating some people, and I remember how hard it was to say to them after you went, you know, you started dating them already, and then you had to pull back. And you guys have had maybe some of those experiences where you had to leave people. You had to say to them, hey, you know, I can't be in this relationship. This isn't the best thing for, you know, for you. And they're like, what do you mean? And you're like, they're like, I like you. I want to be with you. And you're like, no, you don't understand. I'm supposed to love you. And loving you ain't hanging out with you like you want me to hang out with you. And you know, in the Bible actually tells me that I should be like dating a believer. I remember in college saying that. It came out of my mouth. You know, and I remember she being so mad on the phone. You know, she's just so mad at me. She's like giving it to me. You know, and I just thought, man, blessed are you. If you're persecuted, bro, I guess, you know, this is the happy part. You know, this is what it's about. You know, I'm associating with Christ. I'm coming out. Sure, it was a bummer, but it was a good bummer. You know, it was good. I'm hanging out with Jesus. I'm hanging out with the call of God, you know. And that was exciting. And, you know, so leaving friends, though, was probably the hardest part. You know, it's saying to friends, hey, I'm not going to go out anymore. I'm just not. Now, my going out was maybe a lot different than your guys' going out ever was. Because my going out started at, you know, getting picked up at 11 at night. And then it started at the liquor store, and then it went into a club, and then it went into an after hours, And then I got home the next day at like noon. And my pupils were really big. And, you know, it didn't go too well. But these guys I grew up with, I played Little League baseball with, these guys are my buddies. You know, I used to tell, for a joke, I always used to say to Syl, these are guys that I've seen them naked. You know what I mean? Your buddies. You know what I mean? You grow up in PE together. You know? Where as kids, you're like all embarrassed, you know, and things like that. But to leave them and to say, hey, you know what? I love God. See, it's not that I have to not be with you. It's that I want to be with God. See, when you're called by God, there's like this really cool thing that goes on in your life where you want to spend time with God and you want to learn about Him more and you want to experience the call more and you want to talk on the phone with God. And I know some of you go, well, you know what? I don't hear from God. I don't connect with God. I don't, those type of things. And I would say to you that, you know, are you evaluating your life? Is there things that you got to cut out of your life in order to hear from God? Is there things that are distracting you? Is there fear that's distracting you in your heart? Is there insecurities that are, you know, it doesn't just have to be like the outward sins that we usually talk about, you know. It can be the inward things too, like amazing fear where you don't bring that fear to God. You don't talk to God about it. It just festers and festers in your life and it becomes a roadblock, you know. Or those insecurities that you don't talk to God about, but they become a roadblock in your life. You know, where what happens, what you should do is when you have those fears or you have insecurities, you come to God with them. You talk to God about them. You cry with God. You experience a relationship with God. You ask God to give you a heart that's sensitive to Him, where you want to cry with Him. You want to be that way, you know. And it's beautiful, man. You know, you become vulnerable to God, open to God. So God's not some just intellectual pursuit where you're sitting there like, God, 1 + 1 = 2. I know this about you and I know that about you. It's not like that. Just like my relationship with Sylvia certainly is not like that. It's a relationship. We can be in the same room and I just know her vibe, man. You know, and it's amazing. Me and Sylvia, every night, dude, we hold hands. We fall asleep almost every night holding hands, me and that chick. All the time. It's beautiful. And when she's not there, my hand just automatically goes over there. And I'm like, she's not there. And it's like, I can't sleep. I'm like... Well, now, we don't sit there and talk. We don't talk. And sometimes, my wife loves TV, man. She'll sit there and she'll just watch shows. And they're all kind of, they're dumb shows. They're like Madlock and all kinds of weird stuff from the 1970s, man. They're awesome. You know, Little House on the Prairie, stuff like that, dude. She's just into it. And she's just rocking Little House. And I'm just like... You know, but just her vibe, you know what I mean, is better than hanging out with anybody. You know? And that's how you get with God, man. When you work out, working out's cool, but if you don't work out with God, you know, meaning if He's not in that workout, it doesn't feel right. You know? I could play guitar without God, but if I play guitar with God in my heart and I'm vulnerable to Him, God, just do something in me, man. Just speak to me through this. Then it becomes beautiful because I'm coming out. I'm coming out from myself, my yuck, you know, bringing my stuff to Him. Does that make sense? You know, isn't that cool? You know. It's the best thing you could do is to leave your friends. It really is. It's the best thing for them. It's the best thing for your family. I remember talking to you guys years ago, I think, about those things. And how, man, when you do that, it's the only way to bless them. And it's the only way to really show them the value of Christ. And when you show your friends the value of Christ, see, there's going to be a calamity that's going to strike their life. And one day they're going to need someone. And you want it to be you. You want it to be you. And so that's why you leave them. Is because you're showing them the most important thing, the most loving thing you can do for them. And that's by saying, Jesus, my relationship with God is that important, you know. Now, don't just think about it, though, with leaving people. Think about it with leaving things, even strongholds in your life, whatever they are. You know, whatever those strongholds are, alcohol, drugs, you know, it could be things of sex. You know, where leaving those strongholds, coming out from those strongholds, saying, God, you know what, man, there's something in me that likes this thing, but Lord, help me to love you more. Help me to see you as more pleasurable than this porn or this drug or this whatever it is, sex or whatever. It could be whatever, right? But talk to God about that. God, call on God. Say, God, help me to see you as pleasurable. I want to see you as pleasurable, Lord. And so I'm going to deny, I'm going to move away from this. Give me that strength to do it. And it doesn't happen overnight. But you keep pursuing it. You keep doing it. And you know what happens? It's cool. Over time, you start thinking, you know what? Those things that I left, man, they really couldn't help me anyway. You start realizing that more and more. Like the things that I left that I thought were hard to leave. And drugs and alcohol are very hard to leave because they become friends. Closer than a brother. You know, because you feel safe with them. And I was a little guy. You know, as a kid, I was very insecure. I was little. I saw my dad beat my mom. My dad would get violent. So I was scared as a little kid. And as I grew up a scared young teenager. And so alcohol, that's why I started drinking when I was in the fifth grade. Because I found alcohol and it made me not think. And I liked it. And I knew the right thing, I knew the right cultural thing to do was to be around girls. But I had a voice like Mickey Mouse. You know what I mean? And that's tough. It's tough to pick up a chick, dude, when you're a little kid. And you're like, you know, at the roller rink, and your voice is like Mickey Mouse. And you're like, you're so pretty. You know what I mean? And it sounds like Mickey Mouse. Okay, I'm opening up my life to you guys. I want you to know, okay? I mean, I don't hold back with you guys. You know, being insecure, being young, going through what we go through when you're kids and stuff like that, it develops, you know, into sometimes some really bad habits, you know, because you want to be liked, you know, things like that. So, but it's not just, like I said, it's not just drinking with the idea of leaving. It's leaving the things that you grew up that bound you. You know, it could be friends, it could be alcohol, but it could be, like I said, fear. It could be insecurities that you had when you were young. The things that have always been around you. You know, and God says, hey, let's come out from that. And then he not only says come out from your country and come out from, he says, your people, but he says your father's household. You know, another step, right? Another hardcore step. Leaving your parents, you know. Which is such an important one, right? For married couples, you guys know this a little more. But to be able to leave, I mean, I love, as a parent, it is so beautiful to think of God being awesomely big. Because it's always let me just let Bo James be Bo James. Or let April just be April. And that is scary. Believe me, man, if I had your parents right here and I said, hey, you know, Rachel's parents, and I said, hey, do you think, are you going to just let Rachel be Rachel? They're going to be like, well, what do you mean by that? You know, like, I mean, let her do what she wants to do. Well, what does that mean? Exactly. You know, because they're going to want to make sure it doesn't mean anything bad, right? You know, they want to protect her, and that's natural. Most parents want to protect their kids. And as they get older, you realize that you can't protect them like you'd like to protect them, and you wish you could keep everything from everybody, but you can't do it, you know. And you understand that God's big, that his call is awesome, that when he calls, it's powerful, and that's what your kid needs. He needs a call from God. He needs to be spoken of by God. And so it's not about me controlling my kids, but it's about me praying that God speak to my children. You know, God speak to them in a powerful way.
The next thing that is on this that I want to just touch with you guys on, it says, and go to the land I will show you.
I don't know if you pray that way with God. I don't know if you expect God to do something like that with you, where you go, man, God's got something cool for me. You know what I mean? Something to show you. Isn't that exciting? I mean, I like that kind of thing. Like, God's got something to show me. He's got something to reveal. It's like an anticipation. You know, Abraham, dude, I got something to show you. Bro, it's going to be incredible. I mean, think of Abraham. I mean, here he's leaving his country, his people, you know, his native tongue, his family. Because God says, hey, dude, I got something to show you. Isn't that radical? And he does it. And he's commended for this faith to hold on to that and go, yeah, you got something to show me. You know, Jeremiah 33:3 has always been a beautiful passage of mine. And it talks about how God will show you marvelous things you do not even know of. And I've always held on to passages like that. Like, God's got something to show me, something to show Sylvia. He's got something to show us in this, man. He's going to do something. And it's going to just rip our guts out and be the most beautiful thing ever. You know? Meaning it's going to, there's a pain and a pleasure in it. You know? It's going to be beautiful the way God does it. You know, but it's not like God went to Abraham and said, hey man, here's the internet screen. I'm going to show you. I'm going to give you a little trailer, you know, of the promised land. You know, here it is. You know what I mean? And you have the trailer go, and he goes, oh yeah, okay, let's go. It's just like me, when I came to Tucson, no one showed me, I didn't have a trailer, I didn't have anything to see, to watch. I didn't call anybody and say, hey, what's it like there? I just prayed and prayed and prayed. And you know what me and Sylvia's earliest prayers were? God, call us to a place, call us out to a place where You can bless us, where You can bless our kids, our family. You call us someplace. We will go. We will go. You know, and isn't that how the prophet Isaiah, you know, when he heard the call in heaven saying, who will go for God? Who's going to go, man? And the answer is, Lord, send me. Send me. I have no clue what I'm in for, but let's do it. Let's go. I mean, do you find your walk with God exciting like that? You know, where it's cool. Or Caleb, you're in school, man. What's God going to show you in that? What's He going to teach you through it? You know, what are you going to learn? How's it going to prosper you? How's it going to prosper your family? You know, how's God going to use all that? God wants to show you, you know? So it's like it helps you in those times of toughness. And every call has difficulty involved in it. In this chapter, Abraham gets called, and guess what? He has to go through a famine. And it's a time of starvation, a time of trial in that. You know. So there's always a testing in the call. Am I really called? And then you go, yeah, I am. You know, I bet you Abraham always leaned back on his experiences with God. Do you know what I mean? Like every time he heard from God, he erected a altar. It's in this chapter too. If you just read the chapter, he gets to a place called Shechem. It became a popular place, by the way, in the Bible. But he comes to this place called Shechem, and he erects an altar there. And then he gets to a place called Bethel, which is another popular place. And he erects an altar there. And why do they do this? Why do they put the altars there? What's it all about, guys? Girls, what's it all about? A memorial. That's right. It's a place of sacrifice, but it's a place to remember God. Dude, this is what God showed me. You know, this is something that God's doing. You know, and that's exciting. God wants to show you guys something. It's going to be cool. Notice what he says, though, to Abraham. And I'll finish up here. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. Do you think of yourself like that? Like God wants Him to make you a nation. You know, Jesus says, man, that you know, you come to Him, and out of you is going to flow rivers of living water, and that there's going to be a multitude of people that are going to be harvested through you, that there's going to be such an impact that comes through you. And Jesus, all of His analogies with us are all about the impact that you're going to have, you know, on people. You know, as you leave and cleave, you're going to have an impact. And that's exciting. You know, when you think about, man, dude, God's going to make me a nation. I mean, I was the kid in high school who was like, I'm never getting married. I always used to tell people that. I'm never getting married. Marriage sucks. You know, marriage is blah, blah, blah. You know, say all the things. God wants to make you something great. Notice the identity. You know, the identity. How I'm talking a lot this little message here about identity. Your identity is in God, right? It's in a call from God, right? It's in a moving out because of a call from God. Everything's about this identity now you have with God. And now He's going to bless you. Do you believe He's going to bless you? Do you believe He's going to do something great in you? He does amazing things in people that are dying. And it's awesome. I've seen people that are dying shine great for the kingdom of heaven. Just absolutely amazing for the kingdom of God. Where the impact they make on people while dying is pretty extraordinary. So I no means mean just financial prosperity or like a happy life, kind of the way the world is. But yet, I don't exclude that either. Meaning God's blessings come in many shapes, in many sizes in our lives. And nothing's wrong with financial prosperity or health or doing great in a career or anything like that. God has not called us to asceticism, which is, Peter's told you a lot about that, meaning we don't have to go and become a monk and live in some weird place. God's going to bless Abraham in some amazing ways. Financially, all kinds of ways. One of them is mentioned here, of course, one of the biggest ways, and that is through all the people, through him, all the people of the earth are going to be blessed. Do you guys think of your life like that too? It's really cool that through you and your influence and your relationship with God, that you're able to bless people. That through you, people will be blessed. You know, God can impact other people through you. And it's not going to be through your... No one wants to hang out with people that are angry and bitter and, you know, yucky. You know what I mean? That's the worst, man. It's like, you know, even Christians that are just so filled with that kind of stuff, or, you know, that's not going to impact the world. You know, so you got to deal with that. You got to get rid of that stuff. You know. He says, I'll back up in verse 2. It says, I will make your name great. Have you ever thought that, man, God wants to make my name great? You know, what does that mean to make your name great? You know, what do you think that means? That God wants to make your name great. You know, when people think of you, they think of cool things. When they hear your name, they're not like, oh man, here he comes. You know, here we go. You know, but you're cordial, you're polite, you're not overbearing. You know, God wants to make your name great. He wants to make you a person that blesses other people. It says, I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. And I love this verse 3, I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. Of course, we always look at Israel because Abraham is the father of Israel and we think of that nation. But I like to personalize these things. I think of me. Like, man, if someone comes against me and my family, you know, they're on God's, like, poop list. You know what I mean? They're like, they are. I mean, dude, if someone murders us or someone does something, dude, that's a bad scene. Someone just broke into my lovely mom's house, no joke, stole everything. Dude, and I just thought, man, dude, I just prayed for those people. That first day, just praying for them that God, man, these are enemies of you, you know. They have put a curse on themselves because they come against your people, people that love you, you know. And God is not He's not for people that come against His people, right? And but do you personalize it with you? You know, do you see yourself that way? Like, you know what? God is going to bless people that bless me. And man, God is an enemy to those who want to harm me. You know? Because God's eye is for me. It says He's I'm a treasure to Him. You know? He calls you out. You're a treasure. And that's amazing. Not everybody's called. I hope you guys know that. Not everybody on the earth is called. And so when you're called, man, you feel a privilege. You feel privileged to know that the King of Kings has called you. That doesn't happen to just everybody, you know. And so Abraham gets told these things. And, you know, and that's why my heart for you guys is to, you know, it said the last thing, so Abraham left, but is that you see yourself as someone who's called by God. You know, you can identify with Abraham. You can go, man, I identify God's call in my life and how He speaks to your heart and touches you. And how you know you're called is right there in there because you know you're moving out. You know there's something that's happening in your life. And it doesn't mean, again, it's not like you're a monk. It's not like you're going in the hills. You're in the world but not of the world. There's something different about you. You got a swag to you. You know, you got something about you that is attractive. You know, people. I love working out at the Y. It's so cool. I miss LA Fitness. LA Fitness was great because, man, it was like evangelism awesome. I mean, it was cool because I'd be working out at LA Fitness and it's like, I'm not dissing the Y at all. The Y is cool and everything. But there's a lot of like 85-year-old women, you know, and it's like they're all checking you out and you're like, oh, I'm getting old. No, but LA Fitness was awesome because there's all these young girls in there and they're all just like working out and they're all in just their gear. You know, it's like the U of A, you know, on First Street, LA Fitness, you know, all the girls are there and they're just doing their thing. And, you know, and every now and then, like one of them will catch your eye or something as you're working out and they see your muscles and you're working out and they see you. And whenever that happens, man, and I feel a little bit of that tension, you know, just a little bit of that, like there's an attraction there, there's like something there, I go right up to them. Yeah. And I just go, hey, how's it going? And they go, hey, how you doing? And I'm good, my name's Bo, you know, da 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 da, yeah, my wife, da da da, yeah, things, I have kids, da da da, blah, 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 minister, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? I just go, and it just stops it. Does that make sense? Any mess, any flinging around, any kind of little weird kind of thing that can happen in the mind stops immediately. Because when they're looking at you, right, it's all in the brain. It's like it's this little thing that's going on, this little attractiveness thing that's going on. And I could tell. I mean, I'm old enough now where I can look at it and go, you know, there's something they see, right? And but I wanna make sure that they know that, hey, man, I mean, I'm a nice guy and I'm friendly. And sure, I'll talk to you, but I'm happily married, love my wife, have kids, you know, things like that. Make sure that is. But there should be something that's attractive to you, meaning I don't mean your body per se, but I mean like just your demeanor. You know, when you're in Christ, man, there's an accompaniment of something, and that's called the fruit of the Spirit. And you know what's beautiful is that. That is beautiful stuff. I look forward to getting old with Sylvia and our bodies falling apart. And us looking really weird to what we used to look like. You know what I mean? The fruit of the Spirit is much more beautiful than anything. You know, and it says, he who calls on the name of the Lord. Again, the call. He who calls on the Lord shall be saved. And you receive that Spirit. And that Spirit is in you. And it's an attractive Spirit that's residing in you. And we want that in our life, man. We want that. There's times, everything's about context. There's times where you have to get serious and get mean. Nothing's wrong with that. Doesn't mean you're not a good witness for Christ. You know, there's context. So there's certain experiences or times or events where you have to get serious and you have to lay things down. But in general, we know the fruit of the Spirit is love. And then the next one is joy. And that should be part of your life. There should be something about you where people go, man, dude, I like you. I like being around you. I enjoy it. You know. That's cool. I pray you guys experience that kind of call in your life. You know, that you seek it out, man, go for it. Ask God for it. You know, special call. So all in there. Well, good. It's good hanging with you guys, okay? Let me pray for you. Father, I just pray for this group here. Pray that they would anticipate something awesome you're going to do in their life. Lord, show them great things. Lord, show us great things. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.